Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast on this very glorious first day of the NFL draft. My name is Joe Kuzma, trying to stay awake as myself and my colleague here, my cohort, my partner in crime, my brother from another mother, my tag team partner, the guy I would hand the ball off to if I were a quarterback and he were a running back. My first round selection, A1, Mr. Brian E. Roach. I had to build you up, Brian. We are running on fumes because, well, it's especially past your bedtime. I'm a little more of a night owl, but we're creeping into those hours where this NFL draft just, it doesn't end, man. It just, in fact, I think it might still be going.
Yeah, it very well, in fact, we both know it is. you know, yes. It is still going because, you know, Brooke Pryor was out there tweeting about, I guess she had a blood clot or something, and she was like, and every night since then I've been asleep. She didn't think she'd be up, but she was. So how could I let her outdo me, right?
No, you can't.
I'm in bed by 9:30, and I freely admit that because I get up at 5 to go to the gym. So this was look, I got my Steeler thing on, I got my mohawk going, very all is right with the world.
I almost did the collared shirt for tonight. I did the draft hat. I don't want to confuse anyone. I did not get selected by the team. But we could all say our mock drafts were correct, but we'll get to that in a second because there was other huge, huge, big, gigantic news, all kinds of football news.
Boy, big stuff
today. Yes, yes. The biggest. No, that wasn't the biggest, but I'll still mention it anyways. Mason Rudolph gets extended. So the Steelers do have a quarterback under contract for next year.
Yes,
and
they do.
A lot of people there's people that do understand, and they say that he gets, you know, unfairly treated and blah, blah, blah. He's been one of the better backups. We're still not saying he's the franchise, but geez, at least get this guy under wraps for now because we don't know what the future holds for the Steelers as far as drafting. That's not going to be a quarterback
absolutely.
In this draft. And absolutely, it's not going to be a quarterback
clearly.
For a while if it goes the way this draft goes with the crazinosity of, yes, I use that word.
What?
The Chicago Bears, man, and trading.
Oh, my God.
Giants. I mean, I can give Zach Mechler. I was thinking this. It was processing in my brain, but he spit the words out. In, you know, our back rooms, the virtual offices of Steel City Underground, the actual underground of this platform.
Yep.
And the Steelers didn't use that much to move up to go get Devin Bush from what? No. Where were they at? 20 to 10? Or
yeah, what? 20 to 10.
This was 20 or 19 to 11. And
11.
They gave up, the Bears did, gave up. I know the Steelers gave up a couple of extra picks, but they didn't give up like an extra first round pick. That's just.
Yeah.
In a next year pick, you know, they're talking about next year's picks and they're saying a lot of teams wouldn't want to trade the 2022 draft picks because there may be an actual process where they get to visit their doctors. It goes back to the dinners and the visits and they get
gold. Those things are like gold.
Yes. They're a lot more tangible there. So it's just that was one of the things there that shocked me. But anyways, Mason Rudolph extended.
We traded for Aaron Rodgers, right?
I was going to bring up something about that. Man, you beat me to it. And we both know there may be others in our camp that aren't on the same side as us. Aaron Rodgers was drafted just 1 year after Ben. So everyone that's immediately, well, there's people already talking, go get Jimmy G now. And it doesn't even look like the team. There was some pretty serious rumors out there that it was already a done deal to Jimmy G. The Patriots were already
taking back. Yeah, going to get him back. Yeah.
Yeah. They had the contract written up and everything. And now it doesn't appear that that's going to happen because our favorite doughboy, Mac Jones, went over. Did you see what he said to Goodell, too? He said something like, "This is where I wanted to be." Like, it was pretty audible on the camera, even though he tried to do the old Andy Reid with the Waffle House menu over his face.
Somebody tweeted out a picture of Belichick and his belly and Mac Jones and his little waddle up to the podium and said, like father, like son. It's the greatest thing I saw all night. It was hilarious.
Hold on one second. The greatest thing was Chris Mueller doing his mock draft. If you didn't see that on Twitter, it was like Trevor Lawrence at 24, and then they ended up with Justin Fields, and Najee Harris was like,
I saw that. It was,
yeah, that was.
He used the PFF football mock draft simulator. That's what he did. I guarantee you.
The PFN one. So,
yeah. Well, that one actually wasn't that bad. The PFF one was a mess, though.
Depending on the settings. But anyways, you were saying Mac Jones.
I was saying Mac Jones. Look, this is what I like about this pick that the Patriots did. The fact that Bill Belichick, in the last 10,000 years, has had one Pro Bowl pick, and it was a punter, right? I love it. Goes to prove Mac Jones sucks. There you go. That's what I'm going to say.
First round pick, to clarify, because like Gronk was a second rounder.
Yeah. They don't hit often in their first round picks. So I don't expect this to be a hit either, by the way. We'll see.
Yeah, sorry if my eyes are watering, nose is twitching, man. It's like it's the allergy season. It's the pollinating is going on. And
so we're going to call you the pollinator now?
No, please don't. In fact, I shouldn't be wearing yellow. The bees may try and land on me. So anyways, the other big news, obviously, today is Tim Something Tebow happened. Tried out as the tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars. No, that's... Although I couldn't believe it when I saw it, I was like, no way that that's actually valid information that's coming out on the internet on NFL draft day. The Aaron Rodgers thing, though, is like, who held that down? Who held that until today? Like, that's some pretty dirty, rotten lowball, even for like the Ian Rappaport's or so the world. I'll throw his name out there just because he has said some pretty disgusting things when it comes to Ben Roethlisberger being traded or stuff like on game day mornings, you know, when he can get away with it. Nobody's going to refute it because they're all in the building and doing other important things at like 10 a.m. for a 1 o'clock kickoff. And you see these things land when you're in the tailgate lot. But anyways, despite some other mock drafts being busted and even yours truly here having to tuck tail and, you know, come around, sometimes my mind can be changed. About 2 months ago where everyone's like Najee. Now somebody comes into the YouTube comments too and says it's Najee Harris. Oh yeah. Okay. All right. At least I'm not saying Martavius. I'm not adding extra vowels to it. But tonight you've got Daniel Jeremiah calling him Najee right on the air. So please give me a pass here. He is the newest Pittsburgh Steeler at pick 24 overall. Literally, maybe the least surprising pick of all time. Just about any expert that wasn't trying to be contrarian, including Mel Kiper, and I believe, Todd McShay went with Tevin Jenkins, who was my original pick as well. So, you know, I guess everyone's going to be happy now. There isn't going to be pitchforks and torches. And
yes, there will.
Why? Well, because they didn't take a quarterback. There's still like about
1% people out there that were like, there's still people out there on Steelers Twitter who are losing their crap. Ah, I can't take it. And I get it. Look, I was firmly in the camp of I wanted an offensive lineman. I still would have preferred an offensive lineman. But I'm not going to be mad about this pick because it was a need. I think they will get their offensive lineman tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. And more than one is coming. As we alluded to in the previous shows, there's still a few things floating around here. As Brian alluded to, we don't have all the picks in. We got kind of a jump on this recording so we can get it out to you as soon as possible. So we've still got a couple more. So we may be talking about some potential day two targets. But let's first talk about what else. Did you think it was going to come to this point? I thought to myself at 24, because originally my thinking was, it's like everybody else. There's guys you could get in the second and third round. Maybe you could wait. Then when I started to put it together, and I did that show a few weeks ago, and I actually contemplated it, and I went back on history and everything else. And you're really looking at this class in a way it was very top heavy. It's Najee Harris. I can't remember his first name now. Travis Etienne.
Travis Etienne.
And Javonte Williams. Those are the top three. And then you might extend that out to five, but when you do, it kind of...
The top, it's very top heavy. It drops heavily after that.
So if you want your guy, it's pretty much going to be at 24, and you're starting to think, well, is this going to get here? Well, there's all kinds of things that started happening. One of the first things I said was, I hope that the Bengals take a non-offensive lineman. And lo and behold, not only they didn't get a chance at Kyle Pitts, which I'm very grateful for. If you heard me say, I didn't want Joe Burrow targeting that guy for the next decade. He's just he's a baller. And I could go be forgotten with the Falcons. Jamar Chase, they went wide receiver. Now I understand they're adding another target.
And a very good one.
Yeah.
And a very good one.
No, I'm not going to downplay that at all, but you know, there was some comments in the back rooms too. You got to be able
to be standing up to throw.
Isn't this the Steelers' problem? Well, no, because Ben doesn't get sacked, but then again, you're not throwing downfield, so it's not much of a downfield threat. Maybe they're going to bring Randy in to be the offensive coordinator, and then it won't matter.
Yeah, I like it.
Go ahead. I do too. Well, the Dolphins, this is where I was kind of concerned. I'm like, what do the Dolphins do at six? And you're hoping they go offense and then go defense because they were the most closely linked team to Harris. And they go Jalen Waddle, wide receiver out of Alabama. So the pick that we had all kind of pegged to the Bengals and what we thought they should have done ended up with the Detroit Lions, number 7 overall, Penei Sewell, offensive tackle from Oregon. And then there's a whole mess of things that began happening here. The Carolina Panthers shook this up. And I think kind of spooked the Dallas Cowboys into trading with a division rival and moving with the Eagles there. And so the Panthers take J.C. Horn and the Broncos take Patrick Surtain, the second cornerback out of Alabama. And I think that was a good pick for the Broncos, too, by the way, because
absolutely.
Most of their corners, they've got a couple of guys there that are on like 1-year contracts. So they got veteran guys, so he doesn't even have to play right away. He could maybe get his feet wet with the NFL. So it's definitely a need for them. But the Eagles come up and they show like every Eagles first round wide receiver pick that they've made and how like the next two or three picks have all been better than that guy, like Nelson Aguilar and our Cigento Whiteside or whatever, however you say his name. And and then the Bears move up, as we mentioned earlier. The Giants, Dave Gettleman, the GM there, who never moves back, never trades out of his spot, finally got enticed to do so with a boatload of picks.
How could he not? I mean,
oh yeah.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Well, I got to wonder like what his target was the entire time. At this point, if you're looking at one of those two receivers, Jamar Chase or Jalen Waddle, they're gone.
Yep.
The top offensive tackle is off the board. Two of the corners are off the board. And the Cowboys traded out. So the Eagles are going there and you probably have a pulse or you've already been tipped off. That's going to be Devonta Smith, the Heisman Trophy winner from Alabama. So three wide receivers now off the board. So now what do you do? What are you looking? You're looking at your draft board. You're not going for Mac Jones. Maybe they're not looking at some of these linebackers. So of course, yeah, they move backwards here. And like you said, how can you not do that based on the bounty that they ended up getting here? Now they get, I don't know, man. It's just, but the Bears, anyways, the Bears move up to get Justin Fields as if it was no surprise by then. But I think it was the surprise that Fields went to 11. That whole trip from where the 49ers shocked everyone with Trey Lance, number 3, all the way down to about 10, and then the Cowboys trade out of there, and then it's like, could the Eagles go quarterback again? And they don't. A lot of Steelers fans out there were thinking Justin Fields, Justin Fields, Justin Fields. That wasn't bright lights in sticking out to me. I think the Steelers are pretty blunt. Has there been a first round pick in recent knowledge? Recent knowledge. Let's name one that maybe we didn't necessarily have pegged to the Steelers as the first round pick in some way. It's usually fairly obvious, right?
Usually. Yeah. I mean, even though it was absolutely, there were pointers and there were tips and there were things that would make you believe that Artie Burns was going to be the pick. that was as close to a surprise as you get, right? But if you were paying attention, you knew he was on the radar. So,
and I think it was still going to be William Jackson III. We knew.
So do I, if the Bengals didn't hose us.
Terrell Edmonds, I mean, they were going safety. That didn't surprise. Devin Bush. That's because I'm looking at the list and Deontay Johnson's right underneath.
Yeah.
Cross-eyed here. Chase Claypool, I mean, was surprising, but that it wasn't a first-round pick, but the top pick in that draft, you know, you didn't really have an idea where they were going last year because, unlike this year, the roster last year was just locked in. They didn't have a whole lot of needs. You go back to T.J. Watt. Okay. I think it was a little bit surprising, but everybody knew they were going outside linebacker. A lot of us thought it was going to be Derek Rivers, who didn't end up going to the third round. FCS product from Youngstown State, my place, the Penguins, right? Artie Burns, yeah, a little bit of a surprise. Even in that draft, though, Javon Hargrave was a guy that I felt they were going to be able to get, and they did. And it's funny because that was pick 89 there, so it's kind of the same territory as we're looking at. Bud Dupree was not a surprise. Ryan Shazier, maybe. Jarvis Jones was not a surprise whatsoever.
Unfortunately, no.
Yeah, I know. That one was just the entire way. And then David DeCastro was a guy who fell to them there in that position. I went back about a decade. I think that's about all the further I need to go with some of these. But for the most part, you know who they talk to. They don't do this, you know, Skulls ritual of keeping everything this great clandestine secret. So Najee Harris, I thought maybe the only way I was thinking was I was like, okay, what if Zaven Collins ends up sliding down the board here? Maybe they were sending out the smoke signals on Harris so strong they get one of these other teams to bite, and then they get this linebacker that you could pair and have this tremendous duo with Devin Bush, but not an overwhelming tremendous need as much as you may think so. They've got two guys with starting experience there, with Robert Spillane and Vince Williams. So linebacker wasn't sticking out like a sore thumb to me. But Brian, let me see. We start going down here. Dallas Cowboys, Micah Parsons, the Chargers with Rashawn Slater, the Jets with the guard, Elijah Vera Tucker, Mac Jones. This was the one a lot of people mocked. We mock it in a whole other way to the Patriots.
Yes, we do.
Zaven Collins to the Cardinals. We were worried about the Cardinals. I was saying
that's a good pick for them. It's a good pick.
Oh no, I'm not. That defense is going to be just that nasty. Team is going to be trouble. That team's going to be trouble. You got Kyler Murray on the cheap quarterback rookie contract.
Yep.
The thing I'm always talking about, and they got plenty of other weapons and money to spend, and they got other guys that are panning out that they've had good draft classes. But that was the thing there. They have Chase Edmonds in that backfield. And then there's also James Conner signed there.
Yep.
And a lot of people were worried about it. A lot of people didn't understand that. Oh, lost James Conner. Well, they didn't try and keep James Conner. It's a whole complete different thing than losing Bud Dupree.
Yep.
You know, there's a want and a need there. And there was neither for James Conner, unfortunately. Alex Leatherwood, a little bit of a surprise to the Raiders at 17.
Look. If there's a team that's going to surprise you with their pick, probably the Raiders, Chucky. Right? Chucky's insane. You want to think that what's his face? I can't even remember his name. Whoever the GM is there now.
Mike Mayock.
Mike Mayock. You want to think Mike Mayock has more to say about this stuff than anybody else. And look, if they're going to target him interior as a guard, then I'm probably a little more okay with it. But who knows? It seemed early for Leatherwood to me. We'll see.
Yeah. And then the Miami Dolphins are up at 18. And this is where you're like, well, if they can get if they can get over the hurdle, 18 and 19 being the Washington football team that was somewhat linked there. The Giants at 20 had Saquon Barkley. The Colts had Jonathan Taylor already. They're at 21. The Titans had Derrick Henry at 22. And the Vikings have Dalvin Cook already at 23. Those were all of the teams that were selecting ahead of the Steelers at this point. So you had to be fairly confident that Najee was going to make it here at this point. And lo and behold, he did. Jalen Phillips, a defensive end from Miami, Florida, goes to the Dolphins. Probably. This was the guy we couldn't figure out. He goes to the Washington football team. we could not figure out what round he was going to end up landing in. And there were some people already making fun of this, either that was a reach or other making fun of other people that they had, that they had mocks where he was going in like the third round. So I don't know. But he's linebacker out of Kentucky. That was somebody that we had all talked about in the back rooms. Kadarius Toney,
yeah,
from Florida to the Giants. So they finally, after moving back, get their guy. And then a surprising one that kind of, it's one of those names that start to slip and you forget they're even still on the board. Kwity Paye, the defensive end from Michigan, goes to the Colts. I think that's a tremendous value to them. Caleb Farley, the Titans take a shot at him after not playing and having the back surgeries and everything. So we'll see. Another guy that we didn't think would be there at pick 24 was there at pick 23, Christian Darrisaw.
Yeah. Said,
now, if Darrisaw ends up, it makes sense because Riley Reiff went to the Bengals. And that's something, you know, we never, I don't know that we mentioned it enough of in all of our kind of mock draft, pre-draft kind of situations, was they already kind of had their offensive tackle in place. So it's, that's the reason why they went with Jamar Chase there, I would say. So Darrisaw, obviously, since the Bengals ended up with Reiff, the Vikings needed a tackle, and Darrisaw ended up going there. But I said, man, if Darrisaw is there at 24, then that might make you think a little bit. But lo and behold, it was Harris. And it didn't take long for, even in our back rooms, a few folks to start saying, well, couldn't they have traded back to get – none of the running backs were off the board. And lo and behold, at 25, right after Najee ends up going, Travis Etienne. Oh, yeah. Man. So somebody was going with that next pick. You don't think that the Steelers brass had already kind of had a feeler for that. However, Brian, with the conclusion of the draft and Roger Goodell shooting out that 30-second pick about as fast as possible because they're after midnight and probably beyond their TV time window. Just the two running backs, man. So we don't.
I don't have to be naked. I don't have to be naked on the podcast because. Because whoever was smoking the wacky tobacco, thinking five running backs are not going in the first round of the draft.
Yes,
get out of here.
Yes, well, praise baby Jesus that we don't have to see you in your birthday suit. So and get me
come on, you were looking forward to it.
Well, you know, I was going to say get me kicked off of YouTube. That's kind of what ended up happening when I had the channel linked. Before, and we had some red flag issues. I couldn't use, there was some bug in the system that flagged something with us. You might remember it was almost like about a year ago. It was like the previous February before all the COVID stuff hit. And then I couldn't use like my personal and a few others that I was attached, that I'm attached to as like administrator. That was a disaster. And then of course there's no support out there. You send a message and it goes into space and it's about as reliable as sending mail through the postal service right now. So anyway, Greg Newsome, the second, goes to the Cleveland Browns. It's kind of a funny thing because as soon as the Najee Harris pick ends up happening, a Browns fan friend of mine shoots me a text and he goes, Nick Chubb light. I'm like, well, Nick Chubb ain't going to be with you guys after this year, so you might as well kiss him goodbye. You're going to have your, what was I going to say, dual position player, running back kicker, Kareem Hunt, ended up.
Yeah.
That's going to be the guy that you got left. So Godspeed there. I love talking trash with them. And you know what? I did enjoy it. We were talking about this a little bit, I think, off air here. They're playing like they have some cover band or something because it's like Cleveland Rocks, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and birthplace of rock and roll, yada, yada. And I don't even know what they played for the Steelers.
I don't either. I didn't hear it.
Yeah, they had Sweet Caroline come on for somebody just shortly before that.
I don't understand the ABBA one. That's the one I really don't get.
Dancing Queen.
Queen, I don't get that. What the heck was that? How does that, does any,
Bears,
any,
it?
Yeah, it's like, does any team play ABBA in their in their stadium? what football team is listening to ABBA?
Oh my goodness. I'm trying not to laugh hysterically at that, because it's kind of like we were talking about we should do the Mystery Science 3000 thing here on YouTube.
Yes.
And me and Brian, you can see the back of our heads, his little mohawk, my draft hat, and as we just mock and make fun of like some of the things that are going on screen. I was just going to say that the Pumpkinhead guy from Cleveland is actually a pretty cool dude, despite being, you know, most Browns fans being obnoxious and miserable folks. That was kind of cool to see that he was the one that got to go up there and sit in Goodell's chair. And how about that? It's like, yeah, Goodell's chair. Oh, you get to sit where this guy.
I'm just going to tell you, had I sat in Goodell's chair, I'd have farted.
I was going to tell you that he probably did a million times because he didn't leave that chair.
I know.
For like three straight days.
I'd have left him a nice cushion present.
It would have been like that Seinfeld episode where Kramer couldn't get this, or Jerry couldn't get this out of the car.
Poppy peed. No, it's the couch, man. Poppy peed.
Well, we were worried about, I was looking at the Browns. I said they had a real need for maybe a linebacker. JOK still out there. They didn't take him. They took Newsom. They went with corner again. So we'll see if this works out for them, because Greedy Williams did not, who we were very high on a few years ago ourselves. The Ravens. So the Ravens have two picks before the end of this draft. They go with a smaller, speedy receiver. I don't know. He's 6 feet tall. I guess 6 feet isn't necessarily small.
That's not small.
Small. Yeah. But that's the thing. You go 5'10", 5'11". Oh, my God. He's tiny. He's a midget. 6 foot it's not much taller. In fact, he's on his tippy toes, and that's how they make the pencil mark on the wall or whatever on the chart. But anyway, they go with Rashad Bateman out of Minnesota. Kind of had a feeling.
When's the last time a first round receiver from Minnesota went?
That's a trivia question. It's beyond my pay grade. But I had a feeling, you had to have a feeling that wide receiver was in their wheelhouse after trying to land anyone and everyone that was a free agent. And they were like, nah, I don't really want to go there.
No,
never mind. Lamar doesn't throw the ball to me. I'm not going to do that. Incentive laid contract. And that's like being part of a pyramid scheme. Like in the Baltimore Ravens, wide receivers. It's like,
we'll
100 catches.
We'll tear you up. We'll double your salary if you get 100 catches.
An extra $750,000. It's like, yay. It's like, now if you get 10 other people to sign up, you'll get
We need to queue up the Dabney Coleman reference here and be like, what you talking about, Willis?
No, you know what I think of? I also think of like the fundraisers when I was a kid, and they had the big grand prize of the fancy bike with the streamers and then the bells and the whistles and basket and whatever was on it. And all you had to do was sell 1 million candy bars in order to get that prize.
What the hell you want a bike with a basket on it for?
I don't know. I was probably like 8 years old at the time. It's like you can put things in it, get
some testosterone, man. You don't want a basket.
I didn't say it was pink or purple, man. I'm just, you know. Anyways, Peyton Turner to the Saints. Eric Stokes, this was a name that many were wondering. Cornerback out of Georgia. Actually, this was Tina Rivers' mocked first-round pick, believe it or not. Didn't even go with Asante Samuel, who is still there.
On the board. Yep, still there.
And I told you, what did we say? No centers went in the first round also?
Not a single one.
Gregory Rousseau and Jason Owe. The Ravens get their Matt Judon replacement, at least on paper here, I think.
Yeah.
With Owe listed here as a defensive end, he's an edge rusher. That's the way they'll probably use him, with their little hybrid, the old Terrell Suggs position there that they got. So,
yeah.
But anywho, now that we've got the 32 picks all the way in, as we've been jibber jabbering, Mr. T's back on the horn too there. Asante Samuel, definitely still out there. All the centers are still out there. Brian, what are any other names we've discussed in the past or somebody else we should bring up that perhaps should be on the radar with the not only we got second and third rounds coming here for the Friday session of the draft.
Yeah, I mean, I it would be lovely to think that JOK is going to be around when we get to 55. It's just not going to happen. It's amazing that he slipped all the way into the second round. He'll be snapped up early, I would imagine. You don't need to worry about running back anymore. At this point, you know, maybe a sleeper pick is Nick Bolton, the linebacker out of Missouri, if he falls a little further. But, you know, your guy is still there, Tevin Jenkins. I mean, this is still a thought that they could in theory move up in this round, but to be honest, where I expect them to go is center, whether it's Creed Humphrey, whether it's Landon Dickerson, whether it's the other guy that we all like, whose name I can never remember.
Quinn Miners,
that guy.
Whitewater, who, if
that's why, knows, what the hell is that? I don't know. That's not even a school.
55. Well, it's somewhere out there. they probably play Mount Union. So it's
yeah, and of course, Asante Samuel Jr. too. There's guys in this round, right? I don't think the centers that are worth drafting. Well, I shouldn't say that because you could probably get a center in the third round, but it's not going to be quite the same. The top guys will be gone by the third round. I think, I mean, 55, and then what are we at?
87,
90, 87,
yeah,
almost 90. That's a lot of picks. That's 30. That's a whole, yeah, whole round, 32 picks.
Thank you, Mr. Wizard.
I can do those maths.
You can do the math. You sound like the one smart nerd kid on The Simpsons.
Well,
that's not him. Nelson's the bully.
That's Nelson. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's Nelson.
So, smart nerd kid. Anyhow, yeah, I think center. I'm telling you, man, I still think center could fall there into the third round, particularly if Miners goes. Like, even at 87, I think he becomes the highest drafted Division III player ever. I think the highest player ever was somewhere in the 90s, they were saying the other day. So it's still a possibility. And I'm trying to
think
of teams that have needs. Like the Seahawks, they're still not picking. Do they pick before the Steelers here in the second round? Let me see. I'm trying to see where they're at here. Wait a minute. Yeah, they're at 50. They're right behind the Steelers. They'd have to maybe move up if they get some inkling. I think they might still be in the market for a center. I'm not quite sure where everyone else could be. You know, it's always one of those things. But anyway, I digress.
Marlon Humphreys thought he was going to the Ravens. Landon Dickerson. Didn't happen.
No, Marlon Humphrey was mad that he tweeted out that the Steelers.
I know he was upset that they got Najee Harris too.
I mean, it's great when these guys follow their old team. And what is that, like six Bama players in the first round too? Man,
geez. Yeah, crazy,
overloaded. So, Dylan Raddins is still out there from North Dakota State.
Yeah,
let me see. Oh man, Christian Barmore is still there, and not that the Steelers. We haven't talked defensive line, edge, or
they're not going to draft. They're not drafting.
No, but somebody else will. So that's just one more selection where these other players stream down to the Steelers. Pat Freiermuth, the tight end.
Tight end from Penn State. Yep.
Yep. Liam Eichenberg. Man, there's so many tackles that are still here. This is going to be great. I think.
I'm telling you right now, there's going to be a run on them early.
Which, you know,
that's what I think.
That's not going to break my heart. You know what?
No,
we didn't talk about Najee, I guess, enough. Usually we have to defend this pick and everything else. There's going to be folks that are dropping into this show for the first time. If they've hung out around long enough, maybe we should say a couple of things, because I know this will be a broken record to most of our regulars that are here. But we were talking about, okay, get the best player that's available at that position. There's no guarantee he'll be back around at 55. Does a running back necessarily fix the running game? Not necessarily. We know offensive line was a problem, but three of those players are gone from last season. The ones you're bringing back are on the right side of your, I guess sort of kind of, because now after hearing the presser, I'd been saying for the longest time I thought I had heard, and I thought this came from Zach Banner directly, or Mike Tomlin, but Mike Tomlin had said something about him working out at left tackle. I guess he's might going to go back to try to resume the right tackle position he won in camp last year. And now they're talking about moving Okorafor over to the left. So Banner.
But remember, he also caveated that by saying it means absolutely nothing.
Oh, yeah, the depth chart, because somebody asked him, of course. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, depth chart in April.
I think it might even been Wex.
It might have been. I don't know. I don't know. Wex doesn't usually. He doesn't ask.
He wrote an article about those kind of questions. So
yeah,
I don't know. I think it was him. I don't know. I don't remember.
But
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, because basically Banner/Okorafor is the same guy. Now you're splitting them in half, I suppose, because Banner didn't really play. But a half of football or three quarters of a game against the Giants in week one.
Yep.
Coming off a knee injury, yeah, okay, that's still maybe troublesome. A lot of people are penciling in Kevin Dotson already, left guard. I've questioned as to whether or not B.J. Finney might be the left guard also. A lot of people have him penciled in as center, but depends if they draft someone and that someone ends up being a starter. And, of course, David DeCastro will return. So you got at least three of those spots are going to have some new blood in them. You got a new offensive line coach in Adrian Clem, and you also have a new offensive coordinator promoted from the quarterback position in Matt Canada. The Steelers were not calling running plays. They were calling crappy pass plays, and they didn't get anything going. So it wasn't just a running back problem. But when you take a guy like Najee that's able to – how big is he, Brian? He's like a freight train. I got to go find now I got to go look him up. 1 second.
He's a big-bodied guy.
He's 230.
He's not small, yeah.
He's 230, but I forgot if he was like 6 foot, even 6'2", 230.
Yeah, he's a big guy. He's a big-bodied guy. As they kept saying, he's got quick feet, though. He's got little man feet, right? So he's quick. He's elusive. He's good in the running game. He's obviously. He's also good in the passing game. He's not going to give you that same concern that you had with a lot of young running backs in not being able to pick up the blitz. He's good at that. He's a solid pick. I mean, you know, like I said, we can say I would. I mean, I got O-line love. You know that. We got O-line. Me and Zach both have O-line glasses on, and we always will. So, you know, I can say I would have still rather had an offensive lineman. But I'm not mad at this pick. It's you know, all these things do work together. Yes, you got to have a solid O-line to have a good running game, but you still have to have a back who can make other people miss, who once they get past that first line can do something with the ball. They didn't have that. Now they do.
Correct. All around bell cow. That is the Mike Tomlin way. It is not a committee.
Yep.
And, you know, I had questioned, you know, what they might do in regard to Benny Snell, Anthony McFarland. I think we're done trying to play the games of mayhaps, committee type things. I know when they feed him the rock, he has done all right. I've said those type of things. But my other part of this was, and people were talking about this, running back devalued, this, that, and the other thing. You might only have the guy 4 years. Well, it'll be 5 years with a fifth-year option, potentially a franchise tag, 6 years. And then maybe you're moving on. You're looking at almost the Le'Veon Bell window, but beyond that, maybe without the sitting out at camp and on the jet ski shenanigans and stuff like that. You know, I'd even questioned if they didn't get their guy, whether or not Le'Veon Bell could have been back in the fold or not, because he's still sitting out there, you know, without a job.
No.
I say that
not because he burned bridges, because I don't actually think he did, but because he stunk.
I mean, potentially, you know what I mean? It was just
the last 3 years, he was not good.
Something that I questioned, you know what I mean? So
I understand.
Anyway, Harris, a lot of people like compare his game. These comparisons need to bring it down a little bit. Let's not call the guy Derrick Henry yet. Let's not call him Franco Harris, even though they have the same last name. Let's not compare him to Le'Veon Bell. Let's see what he does first. But this is one piece of the puzzle. I said if they find somebody that's a blocking tight end as part of this too, that would be tremendous. They find one or two linemen. Whether or not they're long-term, they need to hit on one because this is going to be a multiple-year process where they fill the coffers here. So, and I believe they already found one of those guys long-term with Kevin Dotson.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Okorafor and Banner to be determined, but Banner's on the two-year contract. Okorafor enters contract year. So this is part of – you look at the rest of everything that's around there now, and if Harris can be that every-down kind of guy – And he ends up being a hit as far as a pick. I mean, he doesn't even have to be a hit. If they dedicate themselves to the running game, he's going to immediately be an upgrade, and he's going to immediately put up bigger numbers than what we've seen with James Conner and company over the last few seasons. And Randy Fichtner, the common link among all of that as far as the offensive coordinator, when he started to get into this dink and dunk stuff, that was all the way back with Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges. So don't forget that was the criticism there as well. So I like Harris there. We'll see if any of my guys like Creed Humphrey or Asante Samuel, those are the two that I'm really looking for. And I liked Tevin Jenkins You know, I liked him even in the first round. Maybe he's even there at 55. So those are the ones. I'll throw Dylan Radunz in there as well, as somebody that was in some of my early mocks. So there's four. Can I make it at even five? I already went with one defensive pick. I'm not feeling froggy enough to go with any of the others. I like those four. I don't want to be too wishy-washy here. I don't think Jeremiah Owosu-Koramoa.
I'm not even trying to do it.
I'll try it every now and then. People butcher my name from time to time too. It's got to be like the Miles Jack thing. Maybe he goes like 33. He goes second round tomorrow. You never know. I remember when we were all excited about that years ago. Can Miles Jack be there? It's like, I'm not going to be on bated breath here waiting to see if this is a possibility.
Not going
to
happen.
Those are my guys, Brian. I think you're really high on Dickerson. If I had to pick a fifth, I'd be okay with Dickerson there too.
Yeah, I look, as we said, we said the last time we were talking about this with Zach, I think he's the best center prospect in this draft, but you have to be able to get past the injury history. And if you can't, then he's not your guy. If the medicals don't look right to you, he's not your guy. But, you know, remember, you know, Pouncey got taken out by David DeCastro and had still had a potentially Hall of Fame level career. So I don't want to write the kid off. He's a guy that I think would be a great fit. I don't know that he's there at 55. Even with the injuries, I don't know that he's there at 55. We'll see.
Yeah, we will see. So I guess this puts a bow on it for now. That was like our first round thoughts. He had to cover like all the bases, had to cover our AFC North stuff. We had to wait and see, get all the picks in. And, you know, it's kind of bad. I wish we could say more about Harris. But it's almost like it feels like for us, this isn't too much of a surprise.
We've been talking about it for a month.
I know, man. So it's really difficult. So if you are someone who is new to our show, welcome. Thank you for listening or viewing, wherever you may be listening or viewing from. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe to get some more, because we'll have plenty of more coming. We've got rounds 2 and 3 coming up here for Friday. We got all the rest for Saturday, and then there'll be some undrafted free agents that'll come into the fold as well in the coming days right after that. Usually Monday, I think, is the pick of the litter there. There's a cutoff time and date or whatever with some of that, I believe. Well, some of these guys start to
they start to bid themselves. Like but some will start right away. Yeah. Some will see when they get the offers.
It's usually when you get the full rounded out list is probably by Monday. It's usually like they all becomes official, I believe, on Monday, 4 o'clock. That's always the 4 p.m. deadline thing when the paperwork's filed and all the legalese and everything with the NFL. So we will be around for that. And we have plenty of other talk about Najee Harris and all the other stuff with the offense. So I hope we weren't too lacking and too scatterbrained here as we're running on fumes on a late.
It'll be worse tomorrow.
Yeah, it always is. It feels draining. And I just thought it was funny how Goodell like ran to the podium for that 30-second pick. It's like they made sure they got all their TV and sponsor time in and the whole Bud Light stimulus package stuff that's going on. It's like, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, it's after 12. You know, it's like, I'm going to get
everybody's in bed. Let's just get out of here.
Upset. Yeah. My parents, I'm going to be grounded. So anyways, thanks everyone for joining us. My name is Joe. Brian, thanks for joining me once again.
Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. We'll catch you again. I'd like to say same bat time, same bat channel, but who knows? We're pretty batty as it is. So until next time, there's a little thing we do here. We encourage everyone out there to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.